are having a breakdown. Bravo breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo breakdown.
I have a bone to pick with people.
Yeah.
But I'll do that later.
In your oral?
In my oral.
Original oral?
Don't let me forget that I'm angry at Elon Musk. Because sometimes I forget.
And yeah,
I see him. I see him somewhere, like on my phone.
Yeah, it's hard to remember because he's such an off the radar guy, you know, that like, you know, you don't hear about him very often. So sometimes you forget you're mad at him.
I'm just like, oh my God, who's that brainiac in that awesome gothic Make America Great Again hat?
Yeah.
He calls it gothic just because it's black.
Oh God. It was exciting news to find out that his cool daughter, she is a RuPaul's Drag Race subreddit super fan like me, and that she actually found out about her new sibling Axolotl on the forum from a tweet.
Did you know all of his children have been IVF?
Really?
That's what's fucked up, because he keeps having all these goddamn kids and not paying child support on them.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. Okay.
Oh, wait, I read his kids.
Yes, so this is what I've been meaning to tell you.
So why do you live in poverty? Because you're a woman.
Yeah, yeah. I angered daddy. I'm South African.
I angered my South African daddy. Ooh, that's a sitcom. Get that on CV.
Yeah, it's like the new Reba sitcom where she's reunited with her sister, but it's me and Elon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's funny.
Or That's My Musk. It's like a Comedy Central. That's my Bush.
That's My Musk.
No, Elon has a penile implant. Grimes told Azalea Banks, and she tweeted it last night. Actually, this is something I do feel strongly about.
Azalea Banks?
I actually might save this for my oral exam as well.
Maybe we should just do the oral exams up top.
Let's do it up top, get them over with, and then we'll jump in to today's lesson, which is a deep dive on Dorinda Medley.
So I just feel like once we go that deep on Dorinda,
it's going to be hard to come back.
We can't come back from that. Drowning in an ocean of alcohol.
Yeah. And a few words about the Dorinda deep dive. So a lot of the research we got was from, well, it's always from Reddit, Google, and Wikipedia, and her website. But also some of it's from her memoir, that a blurb from Bethany Frankel on Reddit. But she is really candid and honest about her life in her memoir in a way that other housewives books are not. So trigger warning, we will be talking about mental illness, postpartum mental illness, grief after loss, eating disorders, and Jennifer Lopez. So trigger warning, Jennifer Lopez as well. There's some fun stuff too, but I might cry when I talk about Richard dying, and trigger warning me crying. I'm an ugly crier.
And these are subjects we have never talked about before.
Right, right. So
we have
that's
never
fine.
Talked about mental
be
illness.
Very different.
Never J-Lo ever.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay. Let's knock out these oral exams and jump into the
Excuse
sad stuff.
Me, can you lean it down again?
Do I sound like the right decibel level now?
No, I just prefer. What? I'm going to make it look like you're giving me head when I'm talking about you.
Oh, like the gag from Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
The gag?
Like, that's the gag, doll.
That's the gag. No, I was looking at that fun belt.
Oh, this one? Cam's Texas belt?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Do you want to go first?
Sure.
Okay. This is Michelle Baber's oral exam on this Freaky Friday backwards episode of Bravo Breakdowns. Her time starts now.
In this essay, I will prove, girls, I don't think Elon's a good guy. He's a dog. Listen, I know that everyone gets mad at him because of the way that he treats women and doesn't respect any of his baby mamas and denies his trans daughter exists and doesn't pay child support. And he's running amok of the federal government right now and killing jobs in America. But I'm fine with all of that. What I'm really more concerned about, and people have stopped talking about that, are the people who are fucking stuck in space right now that were only supposed to be there for like a week, and they've been there for going on almost a year. We cannot get them back from the space station until SpaceX, Elon Musk's company, fixes their rocket to go save them, and every month it's not passing the
10
test.
Seconds.
So every month these people are stuck in space again. When they went to space, Biden was still in office. They never got to vote.
Damn.
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy. They should be able to send in absentee ballots and
I don't
missiles.
Know how they're still stuck up there, and I don't understand why Elon Musk's company is the one who has to save them.
I mean, to be fair, this is going to be a good movie.
When they're stuck in space?
Yeah, this movie that they make about them being stuck in space, it's going to be like The Martian, but more moving because it really happened.
See, I would watch that movie if it was like a funny monkey stuck in space or something, which I think already exists.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
Like Lost
in Space. Or at least like Air Bud.
I don't know. I'm thinking of like
Astropup.
Like a Dunstan Checks In type of film.
Mm-hmm.
But with SpaceX.
Yeah. I mean, I think probably it'll be a drama, especially if they die. But if there's kind of a comedy of errors to get them there, it can maybe be a dark Adam McKay type satire.
Ooh, yes.
You know what I really want a movie of is, which would be funny, is the Billionaire Submersible. That's going to be a really good movie too. Yeah. And that's going to be a hit.
And I'm going to see it in 3D.
And they need to get Luigi Mangione to do a cameo.
Because he knows what it's like to be wealthy.
Right. Okay. So this is my oral exam, which is something I've been thinking about that goes well with yours. And my time starts now. Okay, in this essay, I will prove that obviously we're not getting through to anyone who already worships Elon or Trump or anything, and we're not upsetting them when we talk shit about them. But you know what's all these guys have in common? They all have really fucked up ding-dongs, and we know this from lawsuits against them. We know that from Azalea Banks, very reliable source, that Grimes and I think another person who slept with Elon, he's got a penile implant. A penile implant that like has fucked up his ding dong, like it didn't work and now it's botched. We know from Stormy that Trump has an ugly mushroom dick. All these men are acting out because they have gross penises, even Lindsey Graham with his ladybug. So we really focused on the ladybug story from a sex worker that like Lindsey Graham had weird blemish freckles all over his butthole. And then that's kind of taken some of the steam out of Lindsey Graham, I think. So we just really need to focus on their fucked up penises because that's why these men are evil. That's all they care about. We as the people who sleep with them, we wouldn't care about that if they were normal people, but that's what's driving them to be terrible. I'm not saying all men with fucked up or micro penises are terrible. I know many very kind ones, but a lot of them are, and I do think that's why they're fucked up, and that's all we should talk about when we talk about Trump and Elon.
You know a lot of people with fucked up penises?
Yeah, I know some. I mean, not fucked up, but like small in the way that society told you to have shame about them back when I was really out there sucking dicks, like circa 2007, 2008.
Oh my God, I can't even imagine you doing that with your GERD.
Yeah. Well, that's probably why I have it, girl.
Oh my God, I've thrown up on a penis.
You have? See, I have no gag reflex from years of bulimia. Mm-hmm. So that was one of my party tricks.
And that segues us in perfectly
to the life of the party of Miss Dorinda Medley. It kind of is a perfect segue from oral to oral to the master of the mouth. She's a very mouthy lady. She's definitely thrown up on a dick a time or two.
Oh my God. And she made it nice.
This is the deep dive on Dorinda Medley, who, okay, doing this research, I've got to say, in all of the deep dives, I've never related to a housewife more. Like, and that's why I think it's kind of sad is like, I think she is not a toxic narcissist by birth, since birth, or as a lot of the others. Genuinely
born.
She was not born this way. She's just kind of ravaged by mental illness and addiction. I think that she probably like would be a good friend. I think she is loyal, and I think she has a heart of gold after doing this research. It's totally like, you know, turn me around on her. Yeah.
You can see why everybody, even though she's like comes off completely insane, still kind of flocks her like she's a mother hen type.
Yes. Yes. Like she's always been. I learned a lot more, I think, about her triggers, which I really relate to. Trigger warning. If you're Tinsley, I am going to be a little defensive of Dorinda in this. Okay. So she was born Dorinda Sincala in 1964 in West Mass in Great Barrington. And I was born in Boston. What if this was all just about
Massachusetts? Like Dorinda.
Yeah. Dorinda's dad was a Polish immigrant and her mom was an Italian immigrant. And compared to like the rest of the Berkshires, they were like lower income, but I think they were like lower, just like middle class. She had a really strict upbringing. Her dad made her attend the same college as her brother, Franklin and Marshall in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, which is what makes me think they're middle class because even though she worked during high school, she didn't work her way through college. She had a scholarship, and I think her parents helped her. She strongly believes in discipline. This is from her book. Not a fan of gentle parenting. She says kids have too many options. That's not how she was raised. And she says she was very strict with Hannah as well, and once threw away a pile of designer clothes when Hannah hid them under her bed rather than doing laundry.
Oh boy.
Which, that's, I don't know. That's her only... I feel like she's not strict with Hannah. Like, I feel like they have a real friendly relationship.
I don't get vibes from Hannah that she was raised by a strict mother, no.
No. I think they have a... I think they're very bonded. But
I think they're bonded. I can imagine Dorinda yelled at her a time or two. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because Dorinda, she's got that Polish-Italian fire. Dorinda's exactly. Got to yell.
She's got to yell. It's like, how you got to yell?
Yes. Oh, yeah, but mine's more like being an annoying theater kid. I'm projecting. So Dorinda idolized her mother. And what she really loved about her mother was her mother's routines, the importance of routines. And in this blurb from Dethany Frankel, she says this is like one of the many traits, not to armchair psychoanalyze too much, that like of OCD or like that Dorinda, she doesn't necessarily have OCD, but she displays a lot of routines, checking, reassurance behaviors throughout her life and her memoir. Dorinda was also a talented seamstress, and she copied styles she saw from Vogue.
Hello.
I think that's really important to know about her, is that she had a passion for fashion.
That she had a passion.
Yeah, a passion in general, you know. Yeah.
Which is important for the ladies.
Yes. And also another thing she has in common with us, Michelle, she had an eating disorder as a teenager. She was severely anorexic. She was so anorexic, like so underweight. She had to be hospitalized from lanugo because she grew peach fuzz all over her body.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And her mom was the one who visited her in the hospital and like helped her through it. She says she just wanted control because her parents were so controlling. And at the time of writing the memoir in 2021, she said she still struggles with these thoughts every day. She gained 60 pounds while she was pregnant, and it was a really hard time for her. And this is really sad. And also very Bethany. She mostly eats soup and tuna fish sandwiches. She just cooks for herself and doesn't eat. And she's very aware of all of this. This is like so much more vulnerable than any other housewife has been in any of their books, in my opinion.
Yeah. Definitely in their books. I mean, especially for comparing it to Class with the Countess.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's just like a do as I say, not as I do. That's basically like a picture. It's not a chapter book.
No, you know how I feel about chapter books.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
You don't like it. But like just in general, like, you know, I think the only person like on Housewives of New York to be that vulnerable about issues with eating was Jules. Yeah, yeah.
I'm watching that season right now, and she really, it's great.
It's a great season. Yeah. It's great. Well, when you're a teenager with an eating disorder, there used to be so little content about it. I mean, there still kind of is because it's inherently triggering. So like any kind of depiction in media or anyone talking about it in their books, it's like, oh my gosh, you just gobble it up, so to speak. And then you throw it back up. No, I can joke about this. Yes.
I didn't ever have bulimia.
Yeah.
Hashtag. I only abused laxatives for a while, and would chew and spit.
Yeah, but that is bulimia. It's laxative bulimia. So, and then chew and spit is bulimia too. So Dorinda graduated high school with honors. She went to school on scholarship. And then after college, she immediately started working. And then she blew her whole paycheck on a round of shots at the bar and had to move back to the Berserkers immediately.
What a foreshadowing.
I know. That's the kind of impulse control that we'll see throughout Dorinda's life. But also generosity. She was making it nice for the bar.
She's making it nice for the bar. She doesn't need that paycheck, that entire paycheck.
And then she got put on pause from her adult life because of it. But it was good because she moved back and got to waitress at the Red Lion Inn.
Holla.
And then she moved to New Jersey, became a buyer at Macy's, saved money to move to New York City, worked as a receptionist, and then she moved to New York and worked at Liz Claiborne. So she was a buyer at Macy's, like Ramona. All of these women have so much in common. Bethany is like so full of shit for saying that
they bought so much stuff for department stores.
Yes. And all really loved fashion, all came from like lower or upper middle class. I mean, Bethany is the one who is more different because she grew up kind of more upper
crust.
She's a Nepo
baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's a Nepo baby.
She has more of a pedigree than like, you know, any of them. I just love I think they need to go back to that old housewife template where it's like, it was a woman, you know, the Marilyn Monroe template, you know, where it's like middle class.
It was a woman,
baby. Like she grew up, you know, middle class dreaming of like a better life, of being a socialite, of, you know, fashion and wealth and all of that. Like,
and
that
England and manners.
Yes.
And drunken behavior and DUIs.
Yes. Like, well, that's what, it, when they lose it, that's the grappling afterwards. It's just such a classic, like, you know, Valley of the Dolls, soap opera kind of story that all these women just naturally have that, of course, makes them compelling on camera.
Right.
Not like I've been an influencer since I was 18, you know.
Tale as old as time. Yes.
So then she met Ralph Lynch at Liz Claiborne, her first husband. He worked in finance as a partner at Lehman Brothers. I don't know if he was still there when everything
went down
there.
What happened to those? What happened to those brothers?
Those brothers. Let's call them.
I don't know. I don't read. I don't read book, and I don't read paywall news. So I don't know what happened with those guys.
Yeah, I do think that she moved, or that he moved firms before they got busted.
Before they met the Lehman Brothers.
No, no.
I'm an accountant.
I know, but I got confused where I thought you were going to be like before they met the SEC. So then they moved to London together, and Dorinda had Hannah. And this is really intense. After she had Hannah, she got home from the hospital and she noticed Hannah wasn't breathing. And then they brought her right back in and she was diagnosed with sleep apnea and seizures.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. So then Dorinda has, of course, like horrible postpartum anxiety. She won't let Hannah out of her sight the whole, like, until her mom comes to London months later. She doesn't sleep at all. She just watches Hannah, make sure she's breathing, checks the oxygen machine like however many times a day. It just sounds like really intense, you know. And I'm so happy that Hannah is, you know, seems healthy and okay now. But again, we're seeing some routines and some real trauma that Dorinda never works through. So then they move. Oh, yeah. So they're in London. And then Dorinda, once Hannah's older, she starts a cashmere business called DCL Cashmere. And she claims that Princess Diana and Joan Collins were clients. Some people say that her husband was bankrolling it and it wasn't that successful. But then other people say that it did pretty well because they did really move in some elite circles.
They did, yeah. I remember her talking about like she moved in really, they did move in pretty elite circles in London. And I'm wondering if like, you know, what if Dorinda was the one who told Princess Diana to wear like the biker shorts with the sweatshirts?
It is very her style.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. And the hair. Yeah. It could be. It could be that like Princess Di, she was wearing cashmere sweaters made by Dorinda.
Dorinda.
Who knows?
We'll never know.
Yeah, she was like, she spent a lot of time at Annabelle Scott's and was a member of various private clubs. So definitely they were high society.
Yeah.
So there is a major rumor that's very famous in the fandom as well. Major rumor alert that Dorinda is the basis for a character on season 2 of Sex and the City. Because Dorinda was really good friends with Candace Bushnell. Candace is famously in an episode of Roni where she asks how Dorinda's doing and Dorinda says, not well, bitch, which added some more fire to this rumor.
How's
but it's about...
How are you doing? I'll tell you how I'm doing. Not well,
not
bitch.
Well, bitch. But Dorinda, you know, like she denies that it was because she was mad at Candace. She was like, I don't even remember it was Candace. But the plot line is like eerily, suspiciously familiar. It's about Susan Charon, and she's a cashmere dealer and high society lady who is friends with Carrie, and her husband treats her really badly, is verbally abusive, is always yelling at her. And finally, like Carrie says something about him being a jerk, and Susan Charon leaves him, stays on Carrie's couch, and then Carrie's like worried about talking too much shit about him because she's like, they're just going to get back together. And then they do get back together and they get a dog, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's heavily rumored that, and also she has like a kicky short hairstyle. So it's heavily rumored. It's based on Dorinda. The husband's name is Richard too, which is of course Dorinda's second husband, but they think it's based on her first. But in Dorinda's book, she talks about what a great guy her first husband was to her, how nice he was, how amicably they divorced, how respectful he was, that they never fought. But also, she mentions that the reason they got divorced, it was because it was after a big fight they had because she wanted to go out partying and he was tired from a long work, similar to Sonia's first divorce.
Right. I always thought she was based off of another character on Sex and the City, although I'm not as well versed in Sex and the City or Dorinda Rumors and Nastiness. I always thought she was the one, like, Kristen. She was on 30 Rock from the Third Rock from the Sun.
Kristen Johnston.
I always thought she was based off of that character.
Yes, that's the other rumor, because it's like a really fun, over-the-top drunk character. Drunk. No, but that was so late in the series. Candace Bushnell, like, I think she was like a consultant on the first two seasons, but that was just Michael Patrick King writing it at that point.
About it wasn't a New York person. See, yeah. I always read that was about Dorinda.
Yeah, that there's a lot of, well, I think we'll get into a lot in this deep dive.
She was the blueprint.
That we'll get into a lot in this deep dive about how many rumors there are about Dorinda that we've just kind of assumed are fact, but really there's nothing, like, there are certain things about her life that she is super Italian Caroline Manzo about and how on lockdown, like, you know, like the whether the Susan Sharon storyline was true or not, because, and like, is it because she wants to protect the father of her child, Ralph, and he was awful to her, or was it true? We'll get into more like legends of Dorinda that somehow became truth, but really we don't know later on in the outline. So when they separated, they did have an amicable divorce, it seemed like, because Ralph bought her and Hannah the New York apartment that she lived in until like 2021 mm-hmm. or 2019. And Dorinda wanted to go back to work. She became a realtor's assistant. She did showings of like townhouses to prospective buyers. And that's where she met.
I just want to say, real estate, baby. That means you're probably going to be a housewife.
Yep. She got her, what's a real estate degree? Do you need one? License.
A license.
Yeah. She got her MRS real estate license. SRE license.
Mrs. Realtor.
So she's showing a townhouse to Richard. And Richard has had...
He's got connections, honey.
He's kind of like John Adams Morgan, but not like blue-blooded, like the amount of shit he's done in his life. Also, because he was kind of old.
The connections.
He's
a very
baby.
Powerful man.
He was a military officer and a doctor, plus a well-respected speech writer and advisor on economics and the Democratic Party. He wrote speeches for the first female Democratic vice presidential candidate, Geraldine Ferraro, who also seems like a cool chick. I mean, she's probably evil if I did more research, mm-hmm. but she was always like very matter of fact about things before politics was just a farce where you could like fart and make fun of people on stage and it was fine. Like she was very Ann Richards to me.
Do you know who Richard reminds me of though? A little bit.
Who?
Lindsay Hubbard's boyfriend, because he's a doctor. He's like, isn't he like, he's like a doctor and like a finance guy, like, and she doesn't talk, like, he's just, yeah.
Yeah, but I think like her boyfriend, it's or whatever, baby daddy, I don't know what's going on with him right now, but like, I think that's just the sector he works in. I think Richard juggled, he friggin' was a military officer while getting his PhD. Like, that's he's just crazy. Lived a million lives. And so then when they met, he was an investment banker as well. And when they met, he was working in geopolitical consulting at hedge funds. A little shady, but probably made bank and got to travel the world.
You make bank when you work for bank.
Yeah, and you make bank as consultant too.
Mm-hmm.
So when they first met, she thought he was like a cheesy playboy. And on their first date, he took her to like the place he would always take like really young chicks to. So she was pissed and was like, he's not serious about me. But then they actually had like a fairy tale romance. He bought the townhouse from her. They both moved in together. And then she didn't finalize her divorce actually until she and Richard decided to get married, which was in the same year they met, much like Sonia.
Richard.
And also, Dorinda's ex-husband, Ralph, and Richard became really good friends. And Ralph was actually at Richard's bedside when the doctors said it was, like, time to stop fighting and make him comfortable.
Ugh.
I know. So it's, like, definitely she and Ralph had a good enough relationship where, like, her ex-husband and new husband were friends. That's crazy. Mm-hmm.
And that's the dream.
That's the dream. Yeah. A girl can dream.
A girl can dream. Let me sell you a townhouse and also my ex-husband.
Yes. Yeah. You're just game for all of it. For my child whose designer clothes I'm throwing away, my, you know, ex-husband who they made fun of on Sex and the City, and the townhouse.
Mm-hmm.
So their wedding, instead of like a super long white fluffy dress and stuffy dinner and boring reception, they did a very Dorinda like 50s style party with cigarette girls.
Ooh.
I think that's really fun. And she wore like a, she's the stylish of the New York Housewives, I think. She wore just like a pretty simple, you know, white dress for wedding too, even though it was probably like a, you know, $1 million wedding.
I don't know if I would say that she was the most fashionable. She was fashionable.
Who's more fashionable though? Carol,
like,
maybe. Who,
well, okay. Well, just like in, like what I preferred. I liked Tinsley, but you know I love a sleeve. And I feel like Tinsley could give some, she gave sleeve.
She was very, of the time, like very frilly, you know, that was all
a little buttoned up
for me. I'm a little too broad.
You know what? I like Carol's style a lot.
Carol is actually probably my favorite.
I like her downtown chic.
Yeah.
And I like her highlights.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like Carol's vibe.
But I do really like, even though it's a little like matronly Dorinda, like it's just always very classic and nothing she wore looks that dated to me because it's such a classic. And because she had such a good dry cleaner. But we'll get to that later. So she and Richard obviously traveled the world, moved in elite circles. They didn't have kids because she was 40 and they both had kids and enjoyed their lifestyle. They were married from 2005 to 2011. And Dorinda really keeps the exact nature of his work and the way he died on lockdown.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, like, I thought it was liver failure. I thought that we knew it was, he died of liver failure.
Yeah, alcoholism.
But that's not been confirmed that it was liver failure. There's also like rumors on the Upper East Side that cocaine was involved. There's no confirmation on that because Dorinda has never released a cause of death or let it be released.
Why do you think that? I mean, I guess it's just like to protect him.
The
memory of him. Maybe also because he was just so powerful and respected at what he did. You don't want something like that to tarnish the memory of that person. And I think Richard was the great love of her life. I mean,
definitely.
He's still, I don't know. I don't want to say that she salt burns his grave.
I mean, I would probably, but if anyone does.
I'm not saying that she does that. I don't think that she does that. I think that she's thought about salt burning his grave.
She's definitely thought about it. She's definitely drank out of a gin bathtub in a salt burn kind of way. But also,
who amongst us?
To be fair, I think that might not be how he died. Like in her book, she says she doesn't know how he died because there was no diagnostic test run, because this is really sad. Okay. Trigger, really sad. His mind and energy was like starting to slip. His skin was turning yellow. He lost a ton of weight and he was already in organ failure when she finally convinced him to seek medical help.
I don't know. I feel like he drank.
Because it's
has turned into Dorinda. She's yelling at me. She's telling me I'm wrong. And she's keeping Richard's death on lockdown, even though we're supposed to be deep diving.
I don't want to, like, I don't know.
Don't speculate, but that's all we do on this show. And nobody can sue us because it's on Google. And we're not saying that's how he died because nobody knows how he died. I don't know, but yellow skin is kind of a
jaundice, liver, hepatitis type thing. Yeah. But I mean, also, the thing is, Carol's husband, he died for a similar reason that, like,
cancer.
But he put off going to the doctor until like it was already too late because he was trying to be strong.
Well, do you think it's also because he was so young? Like Carol,
he probably was in denial. Yeah.
He was in denial. He was he was so young when that happened. But yeah, Richard is, I will say this about Richard's death. It is very strange that somebody who was that like powerful and not like that you just, there's not really details on their death that they were able to just really conceal all of that.
Yeah. I mean,
I also feel like that's why people then speculate. They're like, if they see yellow skin, they're going to be like, and then especially if they were known for partying, you know, people are going to.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Make a correlation.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely what it looks like from the outside.
But from the inside, it looks like God's timing.
Right. He only went to the hospital. He was like, he didn't even want to go. But Dorinda promised him that she would take him to Bluestone Manor one last time.
Mm.
This part is so sad. He was already dying and Dorinda needed the neighbor's help to carry him into the car to take him to the hospital where he would stay the next 3 months and never leave. It's so sad. I was like crying writing this down.
I know, that is really sad. Yeah. I don't know. I might need a break on that.
Yeah.
Let's take a break.
Let's take a break. Okay, so we're back. Let everyone take a cry break.
We took a cry break. We released a red balloon.
Yes, we poured one out. So Richard told Dorinda he really wanted her to move on and find someone new and be happy when he knew he was dying. And I totally get that. Like, I'm the same way. Like, I'm always like, Cam, if I die, please immediately move the fuck on. I don't know. How do you feel?
Oh, I have the opposite. I told Jason that if he moved on after if I died unexpectedly, like, and brought another woman around my child, even though it would be impossible to raise her on his own, I would haunt him and I would haunt her forever.
Yeah. And I feel like Dorinda might have been that way with
Richard.
I will
haunt you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will Vengeful haunt ghosts. You.
Yeah.
I will be in your dreams. I will be in your nightmares. I will be in your bed. I'll make her life hell. Or his.
You'll be like Fruma Sarah in Fiddler on the Roof.
I'll never let it go. I don't know. We love Tavia. Anyway, no, I wonder, sometimes I'd be like, okay, I probably wouldn't haunt him. But also, I just think it's like the idea of like another woman.
I think it's different with your kid, you know? Like, Yeah.
So yeah, I'd kill her.
Okay, so in addition to trying to tell Dorinda to move on and love again and be happy, he also made Dorinda promise to shutter all of his companies immediately. So after she organized the funeral, had the funeral, she spent 6 months in meetings with lawyers dissolving everything. So she had no time to grieve. No time at all. And then 6 months later,
explains a lot of what her behaviors now.
Yes. So after 6 months, so she does all the lawyer stuff. She's finally back out in the world, going to get groceries, going to the dry cleaner. And she runs into John, who was an acquaintance of Richard, Jaundice. Like, they were like casual friends. Richard probably used him as a dry cleaner.
Right. He dry cleaned his unmentionables.
Right. And so then she told him about Richard's passing, and he pretty much immediately was like, so you're single.
Have a chance.
Yes. And I think that, like, that's actually very common after the death of a spouse to, like, move on, or like the death of a long-term partner.
So let me ask you this. If Cam died, God forbid, may he never die, would you date a dry cleaner immediately?
Honestly, I have no idea what that's like unfathomable, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I bet, you know, like his dad died a couple of years ago, and I'm sure his mom would never, you know, was never thinking like, I'll be on Silver Singles within, you know, a month, but she was, and that's what she needed to, like, just not be drowning in grief and tragedy, you know? Like, I wouldn't judge anyone, but I do think the girls judged John.
Yeah.
I think that's part of why they think
he's a little rough around the edges. He was not a Richard, and he wasn't, you know, the guy she was her first husband either. I mean, he didn't run in those same type of circles.
Well, here's the thing, Michelle. Actually, he did.
He wasn't running. He was power walking in these circles.
I mean, definitely.
He was a little huffy and puffy.
Definitely, he was like, you know, like more, you know, he wasn't as much one of them. There was a divide because he's like, you know, he's Armenian and he's not like a financier. He's a dry cleaner. He did, but okay. So he's a celebrity dry cleaner. Like, he's actually one of the best dry cleaners in the world. He's world renowned. His business is legendary. No, like, they say that on the show and you're like, okay, whatever.
No, I know Cardi B uses him.
No, like his great uncle founded the business to learn how to clean couture. Like, John, he's the premier luxury and concierge dry cleaner in New York. He does Nora Ephron's laundry, Michael Jackson, Mr. Saks Fifth Avenue. He does all of the Met Gala dresses, all the archival pieces for Anna Wintour. He makes custom suits for Spielberg. Like, he's the best tailor and dry cleaner in the world.
You're a little lit up right now.
I'm just shocked that the show really makes it seem another rumor.
Was this poor dry cleaner?
It's like he's such a fucking loser. He's secretly a coke dealer, and that's how he makes money. Because how else would a dry cleaner make money? And it's like, no, there's like a ton of interviews about him and his family's business. Madame Paulette.
Yeah.
Okay, but here's like the really shocking thing, Michelle. Okay, gird your loins. Gird your loins, students.
I gotta find my loins. Okay. And then I've gotta figure out what gird means.
Gird is like guard, I guess. Or like iron them up, like, put a, you
I'm
know.
I'm going to iron up my loins.
Put a cod piece on them, because
fish.
It's about to, you're about to feel very vulnerable with this news. So it's rumored that John Medesian is the one who organized P. Diddy and J-Lo's escape from a New York nightclub in 2001. After shooting someone and J-Lo smuggling in the gun, they blamed a third member of the entourage, Shine. And now this case is being reinvestigated, allegedly, with Diddy's like trials going on. And it's very likely or rumored that John organized their police escort out because he's arranged police escorts for P. Diddy before.
My God, what a heinous person. So wait, did John Medesian know Heather?
Oh, because Heather and P. Diddy are...
Well, and just also, tight. Like, she's in, like, the fashion business, right?
He is what she says she is, you know?
But also, okay, so is he gonna have to go on trial? Are we gonna see John Medesian at a Diddy trial?
It's possible he could get subpoenaed. Okay, so there is, like, a Reddit user. I hope they, you know... I actually hope this is all false information and just rumors, because I'm like,
wait,
scared.
Am I the Reddit user that you're about to, if it's
J-Lo? Yeah, so there is a user who constantly posts about J-Lo.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, so the article to back up the John thing is, yeah, he did organize a police escort for P. Diddy from a New York nightclub in 2011 because he had a 75K appearance in West Orange. They had to take the tunnel. John got the police van, took him a block and a half. Diddy's driver picked him up. So there's a Redditor who is friends with people who worked for Diddy's Bad Boy Records for like 6 years, is friends with like a lot of people from that circle. And he says, or she says, Diddy, he or she, don't track them down. Any friend of Diddy who's watching or listening.
I hope no friend of Diddy is listening or watching. Yeah. Actually, if a Diddy friend is listening or watching, get out of here, you creep.
Yes, turn it off.
Turn it off and go pray.
Go pray, yeah. Or go cooperate with the police.
Children.
Yes, children. Or anyone.
Or anyone.
So, yeah, so I had no idea. I've, like, the Diddy stuff is so gross to me, I didn't even know what kind of crimes he's accused of, which is, like, you know, that he may have been, like, an Epstein-style hub for sex and drug trafficking.
Yeah, it's not good.
Through several states, but based in New York. She says that from the friends who worked at Bad Boy Records, they knew John, he was into girls and cocaine, and he worked for Diddy as his dry cleaner, and then also kind of, like, as a cleaner-upper. You know, because he's dry. He goes to people's houses. He has an emergency line for dry cleaning emergencies, which is like, you know, supposed to be for like anal celebrities and stuff, but it could be from celebrities doing anal.
Well, and here's the thing. Okay, maybe I'm not girded my loins enough, but also, well, we talked about this. I've never dry cleaned anything.
Same.
So I have maybe not. I would understand. I've like never like. I'm not like hanging up my dirty clothes and then going to a place to have them cleaned and then having them be in like plastic. Like, it's just like not, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Nothing
same.
Against it. Nothing, well, there's anything wrong with that.
I mean, my clothes are all hand-me-downs or hand-me-ups from my sisters, Cam, my mom. Like, it's all, you know,
you're wearing like
recycled.
A Ren and Stimpy. Like this, I've had this sweater for like 18 years and it's because I'm in between rentals right now.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for I rent my clothes. So my new rental hasn't come in. And those come already cleaned, allegedly.
Yeah. So we're ethical consumers of fashion, so.
Yeah, and we don't waste water. Although, I think dry cleaning means they don't use water because it's dry.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand. I don't understand how he does it. But dry cleaning on his level, like when someone's closet flooded and, like, all of their Balmain gowns were destroyed, he spent a year taking all the gowns apart, fixing them using some kind of like benzoyl peroxide ookity-dookity solution.
Buca de Beppo.
He spent years in that room where the lighting was perfect, and he was able to salvage 90% of the collection. Like, he's a sorcerer.
The way that you're like creaming for this guy, it's crazy to me.
It's more like the discrepancy of, it's like I feel so lied to by the show, where the show is like, yeah, he owns a dry cleaning business, but secretly he's a coke dealer. Who else would a dry cleaner get money? When he's like,
what are you doing here with that Dorinda?
When he's like, actually, as a world class skilled tradesman, and it's just like because it's like blue collar, you know? I just find it very elitist. And also that he's Armenian, you know? I mean, yes, is he like maybe involved in a lot of crime?
I mean, if he was friends with Diddy, like, that's enough to be like, this man is heinous.
But it's all allegedly, you know?
But also, I don't care about dry cleaning. And also, I don't care about Queens. Elizabeth or the borough.
So also the source says that Diddy is cooperating, and the recent New York high profiles child trafficking cases, like the CEO of Abercrombie and Fitch, he turned them in.
Oh my God, this is so nasty. I can't handle it. We gotta turn this around.
So back to John. So the cocaine dealing has always been a rumor, and the rumor comes from the show.
Inside the house.
Yes, the call is coming from inside the house. So Bethany obviously accused John on camera in season 8 of wanting to go blow some more lines. And before the season aired, she replied to just like a random with like 54 followers on Twitter who was like, I think John's dry cleaning business is a front for cocaine. And he and Dorinda are always coked out. And Bethany tweeted at him, it's common knowledge. And it snows more in New York than any other housewife city. Sonya gets a party rep, which is a joke. That's so crazy to reply to a random Twitter user and be like, yeah, John's a coke dealer. Everyone knows
that. If you're a reputable businesswoman, yes, and high society girl about town like Bethany Frankel.
Yeah, it's just wild. And then I read an interview with John and he was super mad because he was like,
Oh my God. Yeah.
But also, like, 2 months before that, she called him in the middle of the night and was like, moths ate my entire closet. And he had to repair everything and exterminate the moths. And then, like, her storyline is like, you're a coke dealer, not a launderer.
No, I watched that. It's so funny. I watched that episode last night where he, like, comes and she's like, you're a little lit up right now. And then he's like, you stole skinny girl from my friend Skinny Cow. It's a funny scene. And she's like, why don't you go blow some more rails? She's just like, you're coked out. Well, then she talks about it on the reunion about him. But here's the thing about cocaine. Don't do it. It probably has fentanyl in it now.
Yeah, you can't do it now. It's not the 80s anymore, guys.
Probably a lot of the women, including Bethany, I don't know. Maybe allegedly, I don't care if they did it or not. But it is weird that when they did talk about Dorinda possibly doing cocaine at that reunion, everyone was like, you don't want to keep talking about, like, everyone. Yes. Ramona, Luann, Sonia. Well, Sonia was like, everyone knows you do drugs. And yes, everybody else was like, you don't want to talk about this anymore. Like, let's just move to the next question.
Because they've all partied, you know.
It is not normal to be in your fees and to be able to stay out until 3 or 4 in the morning.
No, and then wake up and be okay. Like,
be there for your call time. It's not normal.
I mean, honestly, that actually is weirder to me. And I may or may not have had drug experiences before. And if I take anything that's working on my dopamine and serotonin, which I've got like much to begin with, the transmitters are not transmitting. I wake up and I'm like, I quit. I quit my life. I quit my relationship.
I quit everything.
I just lay in bed crying and sleeping at the same time. I'm like, how do they still have like enough pleasure sensor left in their brain to like make their call time after that?
I don't know. They're professionals. They're goddamn professionals.
They're pros. Okay. Another thing I just had to include is that Roni housewives were tweeting drug accusations at each other all that year. Like the same year Sonia tweeted that Ramona is on tranquilizers. Mm. Do they even make tranks anymore? Like, I thought they were, again, this is not the 80s.
Well, and the fact that, I mean, listen, I don't know if it was like, what is Quaaludes? Is that a tranquilizer?
Yes, but those have been illegal since like 1985.
I know, but women in certain circles.
I could see Ramona getting shot with a tranquilizer dart if she gets too manic.
We did see that one episode where she was at Dorinda's house, the Berkshires, and she wouldn't stop talking about the juicy chicken. She was on something.
Do you think that was ketamine? Because like that's the only tranquilizer that's used now. It's like horse tranquilizer.
It is very hip.
Yeah.
You know, and Ramona's a trendsetter in a lot of ways. So
she doesn't have enough of gay friends to find ketamine. No way.
You don't think that she's boofing ketamine?
I would love that, but
she doesn't give those vibes?
I don't think anyone would offer that to her unless it was, again, she was shot by a ketamine dart. And it's to make her calm down.
She probably, yeah. And do you think it would actually calm her down, or would she just be like, you don't support other women?
Yeah, I don't think it would faze her at all.
No, like, yeah, she'd be the same.
Her life is a K-hole. Yeah. This is something I just never knew. In 2018, Carol Tinsley, John and Dorinda, Caroline Stanberry, and Megan King Edmund's brother went to Dubai together for
Megan King's brother?
Yeah, who's like best friends with Carol.
This is too much.
They're the co-dog owners. But I'm like, that is like my white whale. I'm like, what happened on that trip?
Dubai. Well, because you can't even really drink in Dubai, which is why Lindsay Lohan lives there. That's why she moved originally.
Oh, really?
She dried out because, like, you can't really get, like, prescriptions for controlled substances. It's kind of basically illegal to drink there.
Yeah.
That's why, like, on Dubai, they would always have to, like, charter a yacht and go to the middle of the ocean when they were drinking and stuff.
But you can still, like, I mean, like, you can people to, like, break the rules, drink inside their homes. You can,
but it's just really, it's just, like, it's not accessible yes. there the way it yeah. is in here.
Yeah.
Especially
yeah.
like L.A. So that was, like, one of her big reasons for moving to Dubai.
Well, from the pictures, it did not seem like they obeyed Sharia law. But we'll never know what happened. Carol Lindsay? Tinsley, John Dorinda, Caroline Stanbury, and Maggie Kegemans.
Yeah, they chartered a yacht.
Yeah.
With Caroline. Oh, Caroline lives in Dubai. I'm an idiot.
Yeah, yeah. So Dorinda and John separated in 2019 after 7 years together. And I do think it did put her behavior in her last season where, like, she'd just broken up with John in kind of a different frame for me where we're like, God, why is she still crying over Richard? It's like, this is the first time she'd been single in 40 years. She'd never dealt with the trauma of thinking her baby was going to die. She'd never yeah. dealt with the trauma of grief, and it all right. just kind of hit her like a ton of bricks, and I think that's probably why she was so
mean to Tinsley.
Mean. Yeah, she just took it all she out really, on her.
She always was a little mean on this show, and that's also kind of what we liked about her. It was like a fun, like when mom's mad at you type of thing.
Yeah.
Like when she's yelling at everyone in the Berkshires, like, oh God, okay, we gotta clean our rooms. But yeah, just the stuff with Tinsley and the, like, she'll never be a mom.
It's ugly. It's ugly.
Like a next level sort of.
There's no excuse. There's no excuse. And, like, that's not how my particular mental illness will ever manifest, by taking it out on people. I prefer, you know, self-harm. But, like, I see her, like, I relate to her triggers where it's like, oh, if you look at her, she has a meltdown because people are ruining her idea for the routine of what's going to go, like, happen in Bluestone Manor. She's freaking out because someone ate in the room and there were crumbs and they broke the rules.
But she also put food in the room.
She also, like, likes to get mad, I think. But, like, it does seem like a lot of it comes back to compulsions, you know?
Yeah.
But still, also, she needs to get fucking therapy. Like, come on, dude. We'll take a short break and then the thrilling conclusion of Dorinda and where she is now and her possible spinoff.
She is well.
These girls are having a break.
So we're back, and our final part, our thrilling conclusion of this Dorinda deep dive is called Finances/Is Dorinda Okay? Now, I think we've all been a little worried about old gal.
I think that's not what we call a segment. It's, is Dorinda well, bitch?
Is she well, bitch? Because, yeah, so obviously, her behavior during her final season of Roni was concerning and upsetting. And then Ultimate Girls Trip 2 that was filmed at Bluestone Manor, also somewhat concerning, kind of Dorinda's haunted house of pain, kind of a very shining feel to the way she psychologically tortured all the guests, perhaps being drunk the entire time.
That's entertainment.
And also afterwards, there was a lawsuit because of that season where the butler that she hired, Marco Vega, sued the Bravo network. It was actually the first of, like, a spate of lawsuits against Bravo, who used the same lawyer as Caroline Manzo did for her sexual harassment and sexual assault case against Bravo for Ultimate Girls Trip season 4. So all of this was, like, a little concerning. And another thing that's concerning that Michelle and I have been concerned about is we send, speaking of which, she came alive in my pocket because she heard
us.
Who
was that? Was that Dorinda?
No, it was Parker Posey, but I did send you the new Dorinda Instagram post last night.
Oh, okay. Because
as concerning as ever.
Well, put a pin in that because I do have to talk to you about the White Lotus episode.
Well, let's finish and then we can talk about it.
No, that's what I'm saying. Put a pin in that.
Okay, we'll put a pin in White Lotus.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, so it's, you know, but what we generally say about Instagrams, we don't know what anyone's going through, but if people are mostly posting out of focus selfies, updated at random times, not really looking at a camera.
Dusk, night.
Blurry.
Alone. Always alone. Very alone. In a very late 19th century gown.
Garb. Yeah. Lots
yeah,
of
when
garb.
There's garb and there's a petticoat
mm-hmm.
more than once, you're not well, bitch.
And the captions are concerning. The most recent one, the caption was #heart emoji.
Yeah.
Was the one from last night. So
We had some worries. So yeah. We did a little digging. So in 2011, actually, after Richard passed, he and Dorinda, they had federal liens of over 500, and they paid them after Dorinda dissolved the companies. Mm. Her townhouse, she's never been able to sell it. Like, she moved back into the apartment that Ralph got her, and like, she's been trying to rent it out. It's been like gone a long time between tenants. She's had it listed so many times and it's failed. In 2020, Company A took out a $3 million mortgage on this townhouse, and the same month it was paid off by a different company, and it was owned by Dorinda and Richard's two kids. It was left to all three of them in the will, but now it's owned by Blonde LLC, so I'm guessing that's like Dorinda's company she made to rent it out.
Yeah, it's not Tinsley's.
No. She's not a working girl. That was Dorinda's whole deal with her. But Dorinda got COVID support for the LLC. She got like $35,000 for each year of the pandemic, which was good because she could not rent it out at all.
Right.
But she does. So I went to her website. She was somewhat disturbing, but also edifying. She like regularly does charity stuff for like Beauty for Freedom, Ronald McDonald House. She does stuff with Airbnb through them, where like she'll do the Halloween Zooms and the Halloween rentals and donate all of the raffle tickets to Ronald McDonald House, which is a great charity. New York Loves Kids, Gabrielle's Angel Foundation, and the Saratoga Performing Arts Center's educational programming. So I do think she's keeping busy. She also still has constant intrusive thoughts of death and her parents dying, which is, you know, relatable content.
Relatable content.
Hashtag heart emoji, because me too, girly.
Hashtag me too.
Hashtag me too. But her her mom and dad are still alive. Her dad just turned 90. Pretty cool.
That's crazy.
Yep. It's that strong Polish constitution.
They're survivors.
Her current website is selling merch, which is just mugs with her various catchphrases on them, Redbubble type stuff. And then it hosts many video interviews from 2021, which are now all unavailable because they've been privated, including her Wendy Williams appearance, which I'm so upset about. But there is one video that has not been privated that I do want to show you right now, Michelle. I don't even know how to prepare you for this. I think it's better that we just dive in.
I'll just dive in. Okay, deep end. We're going in the deep end.
Yeah. Okay. Can you see? Oh, wait.
I can see you.
Okay. Here we go.
Good morning.
Oh, right.
What was
I thinking yesterday? Talking about brushing my teeth, this is the reality. The hard work I'm doing at Blue Star Manor in my lingerie.
Brush your floor.
Thank you, Ramona, for telling me that I didn't brush my teeth correctly. Later, I'll leave you alone.
So for our audio listeners, it's going to sound like we just played part of a porn, but for YouTube.
The porn that we can get in the state of Texas.
Yes. Oh, because we're really only down to a few sources.
Right.
But yeah, so that was a sketch from Dorinda.
Yeah.
Parodying Ramona.
Right.
In a French maid uniform.
Was that John?
Yeah, I think that was John.
That was John. It was funny because she was cleaning her own house.
Yeah, instead of a
person. She looked great.
She looked great. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
The girls.
Yeah. Yeah. And the porn voice was porn voice.
Well, and just the commitment, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like the commitment, like it was like a full bucket of water. So what she's doing is she's on the floor in a French maid costume, scrubbing the floors by hand, but she had a full mop bucket, like soapy water.
Yeah, but no, she's like hand scouring it like a scullery maid. Mm-hmm. Which I don't know how this really makes fun of Ramona.
I've never seen Ramona do anything like that.
Nothing like that. I mean, we've seen Lindsay Hubbard, I think, in a French maid.
Yeah, I've never seen Ramona like with like cleaning her home like in a breathy voice.
Yeah, I'm very confused by it. I mean, is it maybe alluding to when Ramona shit on the floor and Dorinda's the sexy maid who came in to clean it up? I don't know. I'm not understanding the comedy, but I am glad that this is the one video that is still live on her website.
This is, yeah, well, this is what she needs to lead with.
Yeah, yeah.
This could be her legacy.
Yeah, this is her monthly junk accidental foot fetish video where it's like, it was such a surprise hit.
I called you Ruby. I was so disappointed in what you just said. I'm so mad. Ruby.
It's similar because it's attempting comedy, but it found a perverted following and it got a lot of traffic.
You can't say that because what if they listen to this?
What they told us that.
Okay. Well, if you
it's
like
not an insult. There's also a box at the bottom of our website where you can subscribe to our newsletter, but I keep subscribing and no newsletter comes.
Wait, well, because they're not around anymore.
No. Well, I don't know if she ever did commit to a newsletter.
They never commit to the bit.
No, they don't. Yeah, so she has an Airbnb partnership, obviously, so people can stay at Bluestone.
Mm-hmm.
And she did a recent stint on Traders US following her Ultimate Girls Trip Legacy performance in 2004. She was, okay, so on Traders, I know you haven't watched, you are, you know, proudly not going to have fun with the rest of us and watch
it. No one is having fun with it.
It's fun. It's fun for people. I am not having fun, but most people watching it are having fun. I'm too invested because you know how serious I'm about Traders.
Mm-hmm.
But you would have fun, I think. But Dorinda also had fun and she was sober most of the time. She was like pretty breezy. It was good.
I mean, spoiler alert, she's gone the first episode. That's why I won't watch.
But I knew she, like, I was upset, but like, I knew she would not make it through the first episode either way.
She should have made it first. She should have been around longer.
She would have been banished if they hadn't murdered her. Like, she had no 100% chance of leaving.
Let the girls
play. She's such
play.
A fiery
she needs to be there.
Spirit. Yeah, but I don't honestly think it's better because she was sober the whole time. She didn't flip out at anyone. And then she just did Watch What Happens Live. She just did Fallon. Like, she is, you know, back in the limelight.
Is she sober now?
I mean, her from the Instagram picture I showed you last night where she's literally at a bar and posted hashtag heart emoji and alone at a bar. It's like
she could be getting a Diet Coke or whatever Shannon did when she went to the mall by herself. She was at the bar, but she was just drinking Pellegrinos.
Right. I'm sure it's a lot like what Shannon does alone. But I do think she's like, I think she's okay overall. You know, like, I think that probably she's only posting on Instagram when she's drunk. So it doesn't
paint so often.
Picture, but I do think, like, the fact that she's been able to, like, Sonia, I'm more worried about because she's showing up drunk to, like, you know, press appearances.
Yeah. Sonia, I don't even think she doesn't live in New York anymore. She's, like, living in a friend's apartment in Palm Beach.
Oh, my gosh. The homeless person have her at the house.
Homeless
is becoming
and
the homeless person at the house. Yeah. The homeless is becoming the toothless.
Yeah. The toothless is becoming
the homeless in Sonia's case. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Bluestone Manor is having a spinoff. I mean, not definitely, but Deadline did do an article 6 months ago. About a Bluestone Manor spinoff. They announced that it's in development by Bravo, and sources tell us that the show would be similar in format to Hulu's Vanderpump Villa, with Medley serving as a boss to young staff as they welcome guests staying on her property. We've talked about this a lot.
Boss babe.
But this is 6 months later, and that it was still in development then. It hadn't been picked up. Apparently, NBC Universal is still circling it, but hopefully, after, like, you know, her big buzzy appearance on the Traders and Fallon, hopefully they sign the deals, the ink is dry, and we get another very litigious and disturbing great show out of Dorinda, because the girl belongs on TV.
Well, not only that, but her fucking house does. It is such an iconic, like, mm-hmm. It is so iconic. Like, the idea of not having that on our screens anymore is devastating to me.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm devastated.
And all that it entails, you know?
Yeah, all the it entails. Like the fish room.
The fish Come room, on. Which she designed for her teenage stepson.
Right, which I didn't even know she had one.
Yeah, Yeah, she keeps them off camera. It's crazy how many like housewife kids and stepkids Margaret. They keep on camera or they keep off camera if they, you know, actually love them or whatever. No, I'm just kidding. But, oh, yeah. So I think that they do address this on the show. But Dorinda's favorite holiday is Halloween. And I just think that's so perfect for a tone for like Bluestone and a tone for the Bluestone spinoff.
Well, very like, Halloween-y. Really, like the Berkshires does give me a Nightmare Before Christmas vibe.
Yes, it's 100% Night Before Christmas. And NBC Universal, Lauren Zelaznik, if you're listening and you still have any, you know, connections to the big brass, please, please, all we want for Halloween is... Civil War and the Nightmare Before Christmas Dorinda spinoff.
Civil War. We can not have abortion, but we want the Berkshires.
Yes, give us the episodes. Berkshires. The Berkshires.
Oliver, can I have the Berkshires, please?
Yes, please, Mom. I want some more making it nice.
More Berkshires.
Yeah, because. Yeah. Well, yeah, all in all, we're sad. And guess what? Dorinda, she might not be well, bitch, but none of us are well, bitch.
Yeah, well, bitch, neither am I.
Neither am I. If you're well, I'm sorry, you're not paying attention.
Yeah, if you're okay, you're not okay.
Something's wrong. Yeah.
Something's wrong and you need to get that checked out. If you're happy, baby, I got some news for you. You're wrong.
You're wrong, and honestly, you need to check yourself because it seems like you're flying into the arms of whatever's distracting you, work, family, John Medesian. That's your John Medesian, and you need to grieve, you know, your faith in humanity, okay? You need to not jump into, you know, a Coke-fueled party and seven-year happiness.
Seven-year bitch. Seven-year itch.
Yeah. Everyone needs to process. Everyone needs to process and have OCD like us and Dorinda.
And it's
allegedly.
Fine. Allegedly. We allegedly have OCD. And that's what I tell my therapist. This
same,
is all
I actually
alleged.
Do.
This is all
I'm like
alleged.
Same. I'm like, so I have been diagnosed with OCD. I don't know if I buy it.
Have it. And
this
like,
is like allegedly.
Intrusive thoughts, and then you're Googling and doing all of the things to sort of stop the intrusive thoughts. And I was like, Allegedly.
Like,
well, that's what we've been talking about for the last hour. And it's like, that's my time to exit. Time's up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. This is either where the oral exams will go or, well, bitch, follow us on TikTok at @Bravo_breakdowns, on Instagram at @Bravo_breakdowns, and on YouTube @Bravo_breakdowns. And as always, if you're listening on YouTube, we end by showing you our boobs. Like and subscribe. Bye.
Bye.